This is Get Lit with Literature, and this is Monk. This week, not so much literature as words, because words are the backbone of the literature, and the meanings of the words can send us in strange and destructive directions or positive and nurturing directions, depending on how they are interpreted and how they get interpreted, and then what people blindly go along and believe. So I was somewhat reluctant to do this episode at first because of the volatility of the situation and the wide range of reactions to what's happened and happening in the Middle East and has been happening. And then I remembered a little gem of an esoterica definition that I had learned years ago, and that prompted feeling that I must talk about this stuff. So it's going to be not so much directly talking about the politics, because I don't want to get into the thick of that. There's too many angles to it, and then I have to quote and reference and all kinds of stuff, but I want to talk about it mostly from a different angle. Now, the word that came to mind was that from whence the name or the word Israel comes, Yishra, Y-I-S-H-R-A or R-A-H-L, Yishra L. What does it mean? Yishra means upright. L means God or ones or beings. Upright, some synonyms for upright: honorable, honest, principled. So this is a way of being. This speaks to an essence of a being, not a nationalistic, jingoistic country identity. And similarly, as I had learned from a good friend, the name or word, actually, because a name is actually a word, has a meaning to it. The word Moses means to have awakened and now sitting in the straight-backed chair of discipline to achieve. So that is a variety of upright one, sitting in the straight-backed chair of discipline to achieve. That means that one has awakened. And once you've awakened, you are ready to do things, to do good deeds and do what's needed. Well, Moses is of Yisrael. Now, I grew up, I did not study the Bible nor the Torah. I grew up Reformed Judaism, very casual. We celebrated Easter and Christmas, as well as Hanukkah and some of the Jewish holidays. And I went to a sports group on Saturday, so I decided that on Sunday I did not want to go to the Sunday school. In retrospect, I can say, like God, I wanted to rest on Sunday. But in a way, I regret I did not learn a lot about Judaism and my peoples and my heritage. But on the other positive side of that, it did open me up to learning and finding a spiritual path, which I call mystical Kabbalah, because Kabbalah has religious tendencies, but mine is not of religious practice, and it's not restricted to Jewish people. It is open to anybody with a sincere quest, so to speak, to find who they are in the big picture and what their function is. So that's a brief background to explain that I don't know a lot about my own tradition in that sense, but yet again, I know things that are off the sort of mainstream. And speaking of the mainstream, that's on my list too, to mention that the mainstream media is, I got extremely angry at the mainstream media, especially CNN, as they stoke the division and as they do the banners for war, and it's just disgusting. I find it disgusting. So this is where I just want to touch on the politics, that it's a shell game that they set up, that even though it's horrific and sad, the loss of lives is horrific and sad. I read somewhere that there was like the casualties and the deaths are 60% women and children. Now, what kind of people are doing this? I don't care what side anybody's on. I don't, you know, what kind of people do that? What kind of God is that? But they stoked the division because people were programmed to believe that Hamas is this evil side, and that the Jewish Israel has this right to retaliate and revenge, and that is what stoked and brought Jewish people out into the parks and the streets on Long Island and elsewhere. And as well, there have been Palestinians out there too protesting. But the part of the stoke, here's what I did not know this until I actually learned this from watching a comedian news show, Jimmy Dore. And here's the quote. This is about Netanyahu. This is from 2019. Anyone who wants to thwart the establishment of a Palestinian state has to support bolstering Hamas and transferring money to Hamas, Netanyahu told a meeting of his Likud, L-I-K-U-D, if I pronounce that correct, Likud party's Knesset members in March 2019. This is part of our strategy to isolate the Palestinians in Gaza from the Palestinians in the West Bank. So there is the gist of the false narrative that Israel, I don't know if they still are, but Israel has been and helped start and fund the very people who the mainstream media in Israel claim to point the finger at atrocities. So point the finger at oneself, because that is the gist of a spiritual path, is that one wrestles with oneself. So another meaning that I found when I looked it up online, Yisrael is struggle or wrestle with God. Struggle or wrestle with God. And this is akin to what I looked up after the 9/11 attacks, when everybody was going nuts with the oxymoron of oxymorons, holy war, that called jihad. Jihada, the root of jihad, actually means to strive, to struggle, to labor, or exert. And I can't remember who, but I heard maybe some Islamic scholar say that this is initially with oneself, and only ever as a last resort would one, in self-defense, go to war. That's where the jihad comes in. But it is foremost and first and prominent to struggle with oneself, which I don't know exactly, but it seems very much the similar in the Abrahamic. These are Abrahamic religions, Abrahamic religions, people. So it all comes from the same stem, that Yisrael, to struggle with oneself, to struggle with or wrestle with God. This is what it means to be upright. This is what I do this every day. I get up, and I'm a little tired maybe. I'm a little hunched over. It's a little chilly. I got to deal with the day. I got to get up for the day. I got to put my posture upright. I need to be an upright one. That's my wrestle with myself. That's my wrestle with so-called God or spirit. And that is a way of being and discipline. That's being Moses, a discipline, the straight back chair that is honorable, honest, and principled. And this has nothing to do with warmongers, and this has nothing to do with fighting over land, which is absurd, especially from the native perspective, that it's all Mother Earth. So who are we to divvy up and fight over land? That is just a disgrace to the Mother Earth. And the other factor of the mainstream media is that was the biggest news for, a couple of years or so? I lose track of time. A year or so. Now you're going to have to web search to find it. Can you guess? Ukraine. That's going to be, basically, no pun intended, off the map of the mainstream media news. Why? Because, that's a whole other side conversation. But that's the shell game. That's the con game of the mainstream media and the corporate war mongers that are the mouthpieces. And again, I just, when I even mention it, it just stirs the anger how disgusting I find all that. But besides that, it's just the horror and the sadness is the deeper layer, is another layer, deeper layer of the atrocities going on. And that presumably some sanity will prevail and there can be a quicker peace. But I do have one book which I could do. I think I've done shows about episodes about this and I could do more. But for now, I just don't feel like getting into the thick of it, because then I get into that lawyerly presenting a case. But this is one of the pivotal books in my readings over the years, because it flat out convinced me of the history and what is denied, and people get called anti-Semitic for even saying it. But it's an excellent book by an Israeli scholar. At the time, Ilan Pape, P-A-P-P-E, held the chair in history at the University of Exeter, maybe he still does, and is the author of a number of influential books in the Middle East. Renowned Israeli historian. It's called The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine. And this book is from 2006, so it gets into all the history, and it is horrid. That's what's been put on the agenda again, is this that this what seems like a false flag attack on Israel is to give them a reason to justify obliterating and wiping Palestinians and off the map. And that's nothing new. That may come as a surprise and shock to people, and some people may argue that, but then I refer you to the book, The Ethnic Cleansing of Palestine, because that's been in the books and in the records since the inception of so-called Israel. And just, I'll give you one quote. Zionism emerged in the 1880s in Central and Eastern Europe as a national revival movement promoted by the growing pressure on Jews in those regions to assimilate totally or risk continuing persecution. So, the motivation of Jewish people to thrive and survive, I understand that, I get that. But at the expense of the Palestinians, that part I don't get. Eretz Israel, the name for Palestine in the Jewish religion, had been revered throughout the centuries by generations of Jews as a place for holy pilgrimage, never as a future secular state. So there's a holy, there's a quote, holiness connected to the place, to the area, to the land, and that I'll wrap up talking about the word shalom, but just the rest of these quotes. Jewish tradition and religion clearly instruct Jews to await the coming of the promised Messiah at the, quote, the end of times, end quote, before they can return to Eretz Israel as a sovereign people in a Jewish theocracy. That is, as the obedient servants of God. So there you have, in what seems to me, that, oop, the Jews jumped the gun, no pun intended. They jumped the gun by claiming the land and claiming Israel when has the promised Messiah shown up. I don't think their, quote, Messiah has shown up. Zionism secularized and nationalized Judaism. To bring their project to fruition, the Zionist thinkers claimed the biblical territory and recreated, indeed reinvented it, as the cradle of their new nationalist movement. As they saw it, Palestine was occupied by strangers and had to be repossessed. Strangers here meant everyone not Jewish who had been living in Palestine since the Roman period. Until the occupation of Palestine by Britain in 1918, Zionism was a blend of nationalist ideology and colonialist practice. Well, there you have virtually the same thing, and what I've been recently referring and talking about Steve Newcomb's work with the pagans in the Promised Land, because that goes back to the same story that has affected the native peoples of Turtle Island and the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination, which has a Judaic root to it too, from the Old Testament. But here Pape puts the finger on it. As they saw it, Palestine was occupied by, quote, strangers, and had to be repossessed. Quote, strangers here meant everyone not Jewish who had been living in Palestine since the Roman period. That seems identical to the doctrine of Christian discovery and domination, talking about the overtaking of the quote, taking of the lands of South America, Central America, North America, so-called, because the people there, the indigenous, the native original peoples there, were not Christians. So it's the same, pardon my pun, it's the same goddamn story. Now, this brings me to the blessing way, to wrap up this untidiness to the blessing way. For many years, I had thought shalom was just peace, just the word peace, but then it means a lot more. Shalom also means well-being, contentment, tranquility, wholeness, being in good health, in a way, holistic. It's holistic health, sound, and it also is used to say both hello and goodbye, as is a similarly of what I know of that other sacred and somewhat similar sounding word of the native Hawaiian people, the aloha. Shalom, also completeness, soundness, welfare, peace. So the peacefulness comes from being sound, being whole, being content, being holistic, looking at body and mind and spirit and emotions and the earth and the heavens. And this is where the peace and the quiet and the tranquility and the contentment come from. So this is what's needed. This is what people need to do, instead of the knee-jerk eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth mode. I don't care even if somebody is just, quote, justified in an attack before a revenge or retaliation, there needs to be some inner self-searching, and that's been going on for years in the Middle East. They attack, so we have a right, Well, this back and forth is just a violent, it's like a violent tennis match, a machine gun of tennis matches, and it goes absolutely freaking nowhere. So this needs to be looked at on another level. So for whatever it's worth, I don't expect it's going to change much in the Middle East, but at least it might change, give someone a sense of inner peace, or a tree to hug, to realize that the shalom takes work. It's not just going around saying peace. It's an inner work, and that inner work of Israel is being an upright one, and looking to God or spirit, whatever you call it, for the guidance, that it comes from there and from the land, and in a way of being that is peaceful. And I'll wrap up with a little quote from a Jewish comrade, Bob Dylan, from his song Slow Train Coming. A couple of lines that stood out to me: but it sure do bother me to see my loved ones turning into puppets. There is a slow train coming up around the bend. And this one is going out to all the Abrahamic religions, which have been battling each other for a long time, and there's too much turmoil. They talk about a life of brotherly love. Show me someone who knows how to live it. There's a slow train coming up around the bend. And also I'll add, with the upright ones that we hear, there's a lockstep U.S. politicians. They stand shoulder to shoulder with Israel, so shoulder to shoulder with the battalion. So I say stand upright and be peaceful. So thanks for listening, and be well.